ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here comes the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, hell yeah. You about to get all stung up.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I'm Branham, assistant to the regional manager, Joe George, behind the glass. He wears many hats. One of those hats filling in for Paul Gallant. For a good chunk of the show. How long were you on the Paul Gallant? Were y'all interactive while you were on, or is that just a Paul thing?
No, we were. I was there for like an hour and a half.
Very interactive?
I tried to be.
Super interactive? At what point did you know you might be doing a little bit of radio today?
Yesterday.
Okay. I was just making sure.
Yeah, I prepared for a two-hour show thinking it'd be 30 minutes.
How much of our content did you use?
I know. I didn't listen much.
I built my own rundown.
Oh, stop it.
You didn't just use Paul's? You didn't make Paul fill the rundown out for you? I would have if I were in your shoes.
I didn't get Paul's rundown until like the next day, like this morning.
So essentially you used our rundown.
No, I just made my own rundown last night.
That's what I would have done. I would have said I'm using Paul's. Whatever he wants to talk about is what we're talking about on the Paul Gallant.
Well, then he wouldn't have talked sport.
Most interactive
show. You think
show
Paul
on radio.
And I would do the same?
Yeah. Joe would have been talking about like
you don't have a
pop culture and
you don't have a Tucker Joe Carlson or whatever?
No, I do not.
You don't have that?
Not.
It's not in your wheelhouse?
Mm-mm.
You don't have a guy that says there's a radio guy that goes by Joe George?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
I wish I did, though.
You could just be the most interactive sports talk show host in Houston and just take calls the whole time.
You could have done that. Yeah, you could have done that. The more I hear Spencer Tillman's intro of our show, I don't know if he says my name right. I think he might not say my name right.
Might have been intentional.
Want to test it?
Yeah, let's test it. Maybe it was intentional. I don't know. It's taken me this long. Listen to the very, very end after he says my name. I think he says like Jeremy Renov or something like that.
92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Big fan. Daryl Morey, thank you. Don't sweat the technique. You never want to do that.
Community Bank Studios. Here comes the fastest 3 hours in
very fast.
Here's Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What do you think?
Jeremy.
It sounds weird, right?
He does a little Jeremy.
Yeah, but I think it's right.
Does it sound weird?
It's correct.
To you?
It's not pronunciated.
Like
correctly.
The delivery's a little like chunky.
Yeah, he did a little Jeremy.
Yeah, it's a little bit off, isn't it? A little bit off.
I can request the new version.
No, I don't care. I just like it's taken me this long. Like, I mean, this is what the seventh day that I've heard that. It's the first time that I've noticed.
It's tough.
But yeah, I was right, right? My ears are not
telling me. I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure I'm not going crazy on a Taco Tuesday. Joe didn't have us. Maybe this is because Joe was filling in for Gallant today for most of the show. 75%. He doesn't have us leading off with this whole PGA Live Golf thing.
Do you know that he's going to be leaving early again today?
Joe is?
Yeah.
No, you did not tell
I'm
me
not
that.
I'm not leaving early.
Yeah. He's just skipping out on the show.
I had no idea.
I have to go
at
get 2 a
o'clock,
new intern
he has
from
more
the
important
parking
things
lot.
To do.
You have to get an intern from the parking lot.
It's his first day.
So instead of the intern waiting until 3, we have to be without a producer for, 7 minutes?
Jeremy, correct me if I'm wrong.
That's
in the bullpen
ridiculous.
Out there, there was at least one intern as we started the
there
show.
There was like 4.
Correct. So wouldn't you think logically one of those interns, as part of their work duties, could go down and get another said intern and bring them back up to the station?
Well, they don't wear that many hats.
All right, that's a valid that point that I'll be honest, I didn't think about.
What time is said intern going to be here?
2 o'clock.
You're welcome.
Hold on a second.
Didn't think of that.
Those doors are unlocked during the week.
Look, man,
from business hours.
If I tell you how much time I've spent on the phone with the interns trying to explain to them how to get to the second floor of a parking garage versus like.
That should be intern test number one, though.
No
you
question.
Can't figure that out. You can't figure out to get to the fourth floor when there's
which
no
building
unlocked
to go
doors.
To?
There's no unlocked doors.
They
zero
can't
doors
even
are
get
unlocked.
To the second floor sometimes.
Then they probably shouldn't be an intern.
So who's screening them before they bring them in to get the job?
I want anybody to test and everybody. Them on their directions.
Anybody and everybody could be an intern at ESPN 97.5. We do. We
forget
do.
The S2. We want to know what
test. Oh, should we do an S2 test for the interns?
This sounds very S2-y. This sounds
this
very low
S2-y. Because what the hell are you doing to screen them?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about these interns. You know what's really sad is we beat the interns the other day, right? Or
we tied.
That's poor S2-y by us. That's a little low S2-y by you and I. Tying these interns who can't get out to the second floor and can't get up to the fourth story of the building when zero doors are unlocked during business hours during the week.
We'll get you guys a rematch like next month.
You know what this is too, by the way? That he's leaving the show to go let an intern into the unlocked door is he wouldn't do this for the big boys.
No,
he wouldn't do this for the morning guys. He wouldn't do this for the afternoon guys. He would fill in for Paul. Did you see him leaving Paul's show whenever he was host? Nope. But for the measly midday guys, he will leave in the middle of a show. His most important hat, his biggest hat, he's going to leave in the middle of a show to let in an intern that can't figure out how to park and walk through an unlocked door.
I said it yesterday. It's nice that we're the springboard that allows him to try and catapult himself bigger, better opportunities that he always leaves behind for other chances to get out.
My goodness.
What is going on in this
show, I'm disgusted. You had the PGA and Liv unifying, merging, and then you have Joe George leaving us for an intern. We are the measly midday guys. Cody was right. Astros won a baseball game in Canada yesterday. I was kidding.
I know, but I'm not.
I can tell. The Astros beat the Blue Jays by 7 yesterday, 11-4. They hammered Alek Manoah. I'm not going to lie to you. I feel a little bad for Alek Manoah. This dude is a shell of himself.
Boy, it goes from all-star Cy Young candidate to just all over the place.
I mean, he was like a heralded prospect, was the number 11 pick of the draft, had an unbelievable year last year. It looked like it was going to be the first of many great seasons for Alek Manoah, and he has been absolute hot garbage this season. They need to send him down, quite honestly. He's got to go figure it out in AAA. He can't pitch in the big league team.
Everything's
anymore.
On the table as they try and figure out if he's going to make his next start. Down. Yeah, they got to do something differently than that he's been doing. The dude was on all fours trying to blow Jeremy Peña's bunt foul.
Wasn't that pathetic?
It was awful.
It was a bad look.
And then my question would be, what if he had enough hot air to blow it foul? Is that legit?
It's not legal.
Okay, I didn't think it would be.
They referred to it on the broadcast that there was a pitcher that did that. I forget the name of the dude that did it in the past, but it's illegal to do that. That's why I think the umpire actually ruled the play dead.
Oh, he did?
Right when he went down. I'm pretty sure that he did. But it's not legal. I do know that it's not legal.
It's just a bad look, though.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's like if you're in Little League ball or something like that, you try that. But what are you doing?
Could you imagine if a Houston Astro did that, especially a Houston Astro pitcher we do not like? We would ridicule him to the end of his Astros tenure.
Can you imagine Jake Odorizzi?
Jake Overeasy did that?
Yeah,
oh,
in the
my
middle
goodness.
Of our hatred days?
If Mike Fiers did that, if Jake Overeasy did that, if Ken Giles did that, oh, my goodness, you would never hear the end of it.
Mm-mm.
You're lucky that it didn't happen to an Astro because we would beat that dead horse till it died. Enough about Alek Manoah and feeling bad for him, though. The Astros were outstanding. 6 runs in the first, 11 runs on 19 hits. Seems like the offense is kind of figuring it out a little bit, but every time they score double-digit runs, they usually have a midday measly outing the next time out. But good to see the offensive explosion, and that game was never really in question after that first inning. Just ask Jake.
No, I mean, when you look at the Jelks Grand Slam, when you look at the fact that it was awesome that Todd and Blummer were actually talking about the bar up in center field, and a few pitches later, Jordan puts one in the third row up there, and you're going, wow, it's just going to be their night. This is going to be an easy one to watch. I don't have to sit there and stress and watch every single pitch because now you just hope Belak can tread water and do what he needed to do, and he did. And it was a nice start to the road trip. One down, 3 to go to get where we need to go to at least have a respectable road trip. That's a nice start.
I was thinking about you last night, actually, which is something I don't do very often. Mm. But we talked about how the Astros go 4-3 in this road trip. I think that between the two of us, I think that I have a little bit more stable mind. Is that fair to say?
No.
No? I didn't think you would disagree.
No.
I didn't think you would agree, although I do think that it's true. But I was thinking if the Astros swept the Blue Jays and they're 4-0, I would still be okay with 4-3. I don't think that you would.
No, I'd be. I'd be greedy. Now, if we've already gotten 4 and we haven't even gotten out of Canada yet, then I'm gonna want to pile on and get as many as I can. And I think that'd be great, and I'd still be okay if they finished 4-3, but it would be a bit disappointing if they sweep the Blue Jays, and we're getting way ahead of ourselves if they do that. But look, I mean, we talked about going into that game last night. I said, I hope Manoah continues to fail and struggle, and I hope the Astros get off on the right foot. I did not expect a 6 spot in the first inning.
Yeah, Manoah's been so bad, though. I kind of expected the Astros to win yesterday, even though on paper you see Belak versus Manoah, and it doesn't look great. But Manoah's been so bad, and Brandon Belak has been good. You know, he's given up a lot of hits, but he leaves runners on. He induces some double plays. Gave up 3 runs yesterday in 6 2/3. Would have liked that final out, but whatever. He's 3-2 with a 3.35 ERA. If you thought that Brandon Belak was going to win 3 games this year for the Houston Astros, you're not convincing me. He's had an under 3.5 ERA. He's been better than Jose Urquidy. Like the Astros, we talk about this all the time. The law firm of Murphy and Miller get the absolute best out of guys. But Brandon Belak looks like a big leaguer. Brandon Belak looks like somebody who can be in the back end of somebody's rotation.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think the bigger thing with him, which is kind of like the epitome of who he's been and what he does, is Ben don't break, right? Gives up hits. We know he's going to give up some hits. He's going to put some guys on base. But he doesn't get scored on a whole lot. I mean, sure, there's games that are, like everybody has, where you just kind of throw up all over yourself and you just chalk that one up as it wasn't your day.
Yeah.
But for the most part, from what you didn't know you were going to get and what we expected to see in the same old Brandon Belak that you weren't going to be impressed with, he's done more than his job and held his own to do what this team needs him to do. When you look at him and you look at France and you look at the guys that you didn't know what to expect, even Blanco in his last start, and you go, hey, this team is doing a hell of a job with the back end of this rotation, treading water while you lost so many of the guys you had penciled in to be starters all season.
When Belak's pitching, I have confidence that he's going to do all right. Like, not great. Like, I'm not expecting a dominant performance, but I'm expecting him to do all right now, which I didn't expect that at the start of the season. So that was cool to see. Cool to see Yiner just go off. Cool to see Jake Myers go off. Cool to see Corey Jolks go Googs, hit the grand slam. Watching Yiner Diaz yesterday, Bill, by the way, I know everybody's going to jump to the Martin Maldonado conversation. I do have a way to get Yiner some more playing time coming up a little bit later in the show. But the my biggest takeaway from that, though, like watching Yiner, and look, I think we've all kind of already have been on board with Yiner Diaz. He is the catcher of the future for the Houston Astros, which means there's a certain catcher in Sugarland, no, not Cesar Salazar. Corey Lee's the most valuable trade piece for the Astros at the deadline, right? Like, they're not trading Drew Gilbert. They're not trading Hunter Brown, Jeremy Pena, Kyle Tucker. Let's not play, you know, MLB The Show. I believe that the Houston Astros' best trade piece coming up, as we're 2 months away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline, give or take a few days, August 1st, the best trade piece that the Astros have is Corey Lee. Am I wrong?
No, and you and I already had talked about that. A lot of our bargaining sessions, when we're talking about guys that, whether it be a bat or a pitcher, that could possibly help this team they might be going after, our first bargaining chip has been Corey Lee.
I think it's Corey Lee.
And it's with reason, right? Because when you think about heir apparent, as much as it was supposed to be him at catcher, we've seen the elevation and the elation of Dana Brown over Yiner Diaz to the point where he just kind of Allen Iverson stepped over.
You're calling Corey Lee Ty Lue?
Yeah, he stepped over Ty Lue and basically, you know, said, I'm going to be the catcher in waiting. And with that being said, well, then you don't have a deep farm system full of prospects that you can throw out there to try and get better. If there's other teams looking for a starting caliber catcher of the future, and you can use that to get a starting pitcher, or you get that, use that to start a discussion about a bat, then so be it.
I think he is the biggest trade piece that the Astros have. We have a busy show for you today. Cash It or Trash It at 1:30. We'll get into this LIV Golf stuff eventually. Mm-hmm. Kenyon Martin had some thoughts about James Harden, and I think that I'm starting to see the light on this one. It needed an influencer for me to be influenced on this. Did you notice what time our show preview tweet came out, by the way?
I know.
12:09.
Oh, Joe's on top of it.
Do you know who sends out our show preview? I know you know who sends out our show preview tweet. Listener, do you know who sends out our show preview tweet? It's Joe George, assistant to the regional manager who wears many hats. He's leaving the show He for a period of time today. He filled in for Paul Gallant. He does lots of favors to other shows, not the measly midday guys. And he sends out our – what time do we go on the air, Blankers?
I think straight up noon.
Usually 12:02.
Well, that's because Spencer's new intro goes a little longer.
Yeah, Spencer. Yeah, let's go with Spencer. Yeah. Not that we mind. I'm cool working 2 hours and 58 minutes. He sent it out at 12:09 when our show is scheduled to begin.
Jeremy, you know
o'clock.
The last guy who acted like this and did a lot of these things?
You're talking about me or him?
No.
Oh, Brendan, he got axed. Yeah, we sacked Brendan.
There you go.
We sent him up north.
So, you know, be careful what you're trying to accomplish by using us as a springboard, Joe, because the bottom might fall out of it.
You know who he's working for now, too, Brendan. He's working for the White Sox. We're going to send Joe to the purgatory known as the Chicago White Sox. 713-780-ESPN. What should we do to Joe? For taking it easy, or not taking it easy, for not doing the work of the measly midday guys.
Let's send the intern somewhere to get really awful old food and make him eat it again.
That's a good idea. 713-780, that's probably why he didn't work hard for us. 71, I'm just kidding.
Well, the intern could actually let the other intern in on the way to getting the bad food.
I can't believe this. 713-780-3776. Who's the biggest surprise of 2023? Is it Jolks? Is it Maton? Is it still Dubon? 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No stalking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Phil, you had a feeling. I have a feeling that Joe's going to leave the Beasley Midday guys at roughly 2:15 to let an intern open an intern's door.
And then he's going to go to the mall. He's going to go check out lids for any new caps that he likes. Yeah. Just going to kick it for a while.
You're going to plan your online grocery shopping before 3 as well?
Curbside.
Pay your credit card bill. Do we do the curbside?
Yeah,
we do.
Every now and then.
Oh, my wife's a big fan.
Mine is too. I prefer going.
I don't mind going either.
I prefer going.
Yeah.
You get to see the produce.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because then you get the green bananas and you get crappy strawberries. So I just rather go pick the produce myself.
Yeah. And the whoever's shopping for me remotely isn't going to see that new ice cream that looks delicious. Mm. Whereas me, I'm going to see that. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. So yesterday we had, look, the bottom of the order yesterday was insane. Corey Jolks, it's a grand slam, go Cougs. Yiner Diaz is a four-hit game, which, guess who the Astros' top five OPS guys are? Minimum 45 plate appearances, because I'll just tell you why. Jose Altuve has 49 plate appearances. He's one of the top five.
Okay.
Top five Astros and OPS. Joe, you can play along, too.
Jordan.
Jordan's the top. Yep.
Tucker.
Tucker's third behind Altuve. Yep. So those are your top three.
Pena?
Nope.
Because he's second in home runs.
He's not top five OPS. Okay. Minimum 49 plate appearances.
So then we're
going
to
get Altuve
to
in there.
Jake Myers?
Jake Myers is not. Jolks is under 700. Jolks' OPS is actually not very good, surprisingly. It's probably because he never walks.
McCormick.
Chaz McCormick is fifth. Yes, Chaz McCormick is fifth with a 784 OPS, 112 plate appearances. There's one more that
Mauricio
you guys are missing.
Dubon.
Nope, Mauricio Dubon doesn't slug enough.
Well, the reason why we're doing this is because Dubon's
692.
The other one is Yiner Diaz.
Yiner Diaz right now, minimum 49 plate appearances so we can sneak Altuve in there. Yiner Diaz is fourth on the Astros in OPS, 786, which is unheard of, right? 80 plate appearances for Yiner Diaz. But you look at the bottom of the order yesterday. Jolks hits a grand slam. Yiner has four hits. Jake Myers had four hits. He was 4-for-5. Jake Myers has been outstanding since the injury of Chaz McCormick. He's slashing since Chaz McCormick's injury, which April 15th, day one, Jake Myers getting everyday plate appearances. 271 average, 345 on base, 481 slugging. With the defense he provides you, that's an above average center fielder overall in Major League Baseball. But you look at those three guys. You throw in a Brandon Belak, who's 3-2 with a sub-3.5 ERA. J.P. France has been a surprise. His claim to fame was being married to a real-world star on MTV. Now he's being a huge factor for a playoff team
and his
in Major League Baseball. And the mustache is very nice for J.P. France. What has been Mauricio Dubon would like unanimously win this award at the start of the season, first couple of months. Who is the biggest surprise for the Houston Astros? Who is the unsung hero you didn't see coming at all, and he's all of a sudden producing at an extremely high level?
For me, of all of the great choices that you could possibly make here, it's Mauricio Dubon. Because you knew that Altuve, once he broke the thumb, was going to be out what you thought was until June 1st. And you knew that that was going to be a huge hole to try and fill, especially with a guy that really couldn't hit his way out of a wet paper bag and was the personal center fielder of Justin Verlander, but other than that, didn't have a whole lot of people's attention for positive reasons. And suddenly the guy basically becomes the best hitting second baseman in the American League. He hits 300, he does everything and more that you ever could have asked for while filling in for Altuve, and he does it so well that the fan base is clamoring to find a place for him and make sure he stays in the lineup when Altuve comes back. To me, that was something that was completely out of left field that no one expected, that was a huge shot in the arm for this team.
Of all the surprises, though, like I think Dubon's probably the popular answer here if you polled Astros Twitter, 713-780-ESPN, if you want to tell us who your most surprising Astro is. We knew that Mauricio Dubon was a big league player. Like, Dubon didn't play all that well last year as a Houston Astro. He was on the team, didn't play all that well. He had some moments in San Francisco where he was a solid, productive major league player. So, like, we already knew that Dubon was at least major league level. Corey Jolks, who hit a grand slam yesterday, we've talked about this over and over. Every single team in baseball said no thanks to Corey Jolks last December in the Rule 5 draft. They're like, no, we don't need Corey Jolks on our big league team. J.P. France was pretty much unheard of by most people. We knew who Brandon Belak was, but we knew that Brandon Belak, whenever we brought up his name, oh no, keep him away from the mound of Minute Maid Park. Yiner Diaz, like, he's a prospect, so we thought eventually he was going to shine. Jake Meyers, while we probably doubted Jake Meyers overall as a fan base, we knew that Jake Meyers had that in him. So for me, it's probably, it's either Jolks, France, or Belak for me. I would probably go Jolks. I didn't think that Corey Jolks would have the amount of success that he's having right now with the Houston Astros, especially when the Houston Astros left him literally unprotected in the Rule 5 draft.
To me, too, when you think about it, the kind of the underdog in all of this, but could be mentioned, is Chaz, because of the way Dusty treated him at the start of the year, because of the fact that, again, he did some things in the playoffs, but I think no one expected that Chaz was going to be a major contributor to this team, especially with the way the year started. And all of a sudden, he just starts hitting again. And he hits and hits and hits, and he gets hurt. And then you think, oh, that'll probably be the end of it. When he comes back, he'll go back to being who he was. And then he's hitting again, and he's fielding again. He's doing all these things again. And Dusty has to put him out there. And even when he, no matter when he puts him out there, he seems to step up. And I think that he's kind of like that underdog on the outside of this. But I think it's great that you have so many choices to make.
Yeah. See, I think the way that Chaz played in the postseason, though, like, I don't think that he was a surprise to where he's at now. Like, I think it's more of a surprise to most. Like, if we just polled Astros fan base at the beginning of the year, I think it'd be more of a surprise that Jake Meyers has started as many games in center field than Chaz McCormick has had some success.
I think the bigger thing, too, though, and kind of when you were talking about that, one of the reasons why I don't think Jake qualifies from ability is because when he first came up, we saw it. We saw a guy that all of a sudden had pop, could play the outfield really well, could seemingly hit very well, and everybody told us he was the center fielder of the future. To me, the bigger surprise is that he found it. Because when he lost it, he lost everything. And we talked about deer in the headlights and the whole, you know, how apprehensive he was in the outfield and all the different things that you were scratching your temple going.
You look done.
Remember, at one point we were talking about it, like, is this it? Like, is this where you either prove it? And you had said when Chaz went down. Now you throw him out there every day and you just make a final decision. He's either in or you just have to make a final cut and dried. He's not going to be our center fielder of the future. And he stepped up.
And I had no idea how it was going to go. I just said, you need to find out. You need to know what you have. 713-780-ESPN. Who is the biggest surprise to this point of the Houston Astros season? We left out a big one that the texter didn't. I'll tell you who that is. 713-780-3776. Who is your biggest surprise of the Astros so far? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Welcome back, Houston. It's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Song's depressing.
That's because Joe picked it.
Yeah, I didn't get to the good part.
What are we doing here? We're setting the mood? Like,
thanks, Joe.
You're having a rough day.
It's one thing to crap on us by trying to find another gig and only doing this thing part-time. It's another thing to set the mood for the listener. That it's just going to be just
rough. I'm just going to complain anyways, no matter what I do.
You're having a rough day. You're 0 for June 6th.
He's 0 for Gal Media.
I wouldn't go that far. He's just 0 for today. The ESPN 97.5 Summer Circuit continues this week. The Killer Bees and the Wheelhouse are hitting the road, heading to Alvin, Texas, as we broadcast live from the Gentle Bend Tasting Room. Come have a drink with us and hang out from noon until 7 this Friday. Who wrote this this liner?
Bad.
Was it you?
Yeah, what did I do wrong?
Here comes another one!
I was hoping it was
Jeremy
you.
Jeremy is piling on!
Alvin, Texas. We live in Houston. You don't need to put in the Texas. Isn't that a little redundant?
Okay, that's a good point.
It's a little nitpicky, though.
I don't think so.
No, that's
if we're
fair,
talking about going to the criticism. Tasting room, Gentle Bend Tasting Room, we're talking about going there on Friday. The summer circuit continues. Summer of the Bees. Head to Alvin. You're not going to be like, hey, listener, head to Alvin, Texas.
I don't know.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Fair.
Oh, for June 6th.
Yeah.
Let's see how long this... it's like the anti-hitting streak. It's just the opposite. Every decision that you make is a wrong decision. So it's like, a bad decision.
So instead of stump, right now. he's the slump.
Yeah, you're like poor Martin. You're like Martin Maldonado in like March, April, though.
Yeah.
Not Martin
instead
Maldonado
in Instead of the stump
May.
King, you're the slump king. You're slumping right now, Joe.
We're hurting.
Yeah.
He's over. You're in an over.
He's over. 3-2-3-4. Who's the biggest surprise for the Houston Astros so far to date? 3-2-3-4, Kevin Z. He says Maton was a huge surprise. After last season, I wanted him gone. Maton was a popular pick by a lot of the fans and listeners of the show. They wanted him DFA'd. Remember, he got the arbitration number, and they're like, what?
Yep.
Get rid of this guy. Same thing with Mauricio Dubon. Like, Jolks was unheard of. France was unheard of. We knew who Belak was, but we didn't think that Belak was, like, going to pitch for the Astros. Thought he was just, like, organizational depth. People wanted to get rid of Phil Maton and Mauricio Dubon. Outright DFA them.
Yeah. No, look, you're absolutely right. And I was one of the guys that was just giving up on him because I just couldn't believe the fact that, you know, one thing that he just kind of was so hit or miss and he had fallen off the planet late in the season. But then to have the whole tantrum and punching whatever lockers and walls and whatever when he wasn't going to make the playoff roster, I was like, well, this is kind of like a kinder, gentler version of Ken Giles where you're just at the end of the year, you kind of wash your hands and say, I'm done. But yet, not only does he come back, but he comes back and he's better than he's ever been as an Astro. And it's been another huge shot in the arm for this team. So he definitely should be in the conversation.
Austin, kind of a wet blanket, buzzkill guy. You probably heard the rejoin music coming into the segment. He said Jose Abreu is the biggest surprise by far. No one anticipated that his performance this season would be this poor. Good or bad, his lack of production is undoubtedly, the biggest surprise for the Astros thus far this year. Are we going to allow that one? Are we going to allow wet blanket Jose Abreu to be the biggest surprise for the Astros in 2023?
That's totally fair because like when he signed, everyone in the city was so excited. Like, did anyone think that on June 6th there'd be people clamoring for Yuli Gurriel over Jose Abreu?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
I mean, this was supposed to be good surprises.
Yeah, I think that, right. It's supposed to be good surprises, but I honestly think that that's another one that's right up there that everybody is literally shocked because we've all, you know, they kind of set the precursor for all of us. They set the table by saying, now don't expect miracles right away because he's traditionally a slow starter. But you expected at some point he was going to snap out of it, going to fit right into this lineup, be a big cog, a better bat, all those things. And because we keep looking for signs of life to hang on to, and we know that he's going to be here for 3 years, at least his contract says so, it has been a negative surprise that no one, I don't think a lot of people expected, and most people are extremely disappointed about.
Yeah, we were very excited with Abreu.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you say, like, surprise, I think it's like, oh, great, yes, like, they've been good so far, like Jolks, like Belak, like France.
Right.
But I guess if you're looking at it from that point of view, it's hard to argue Jose Abreu, although Abreu's been pretty good.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, in the month of June, and we were joking because it was June 1st when he first showed you more signs of life, that he has been getting better, and he's been doing things. Now, he wasn't on fire yesterday by any means or doing any of those kind of things that make you go, okay. But at the same time, we've seen enough over the last couple of games where you're like, okay, he's still coming along. There's a chance he could break out of this thing. Because you know, for the most part, you got to stick with him for the rest of this year.
He's got he's got more hits than... All right, I'm going to take it easy on Joe. He's gotten a hit in every game in June, though. He's on a four-game hitting streak in June. He's hitting .250, as Willie points out on the twitch.tv/ESPN.
I mean, look, I'm looking for positives at this point so that I can keep hoping that he snaps out of it.
He didn't have a great game yet. He had the one hard hit ground ball to third. That infield single was kind of like fortuitous, but that's good. I mean, you want your slumpers to...
He also got a blowout strike zone late in the game where he got... some pretty wide pitches called strikes, and he got 0-2 quickly and then was basically like, all right, screw it. We'll mail this one in.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bigger topic with like the RoboZone. Like, I want huge strike zones when the game's a blowout late. Sorry.
Just keep it moving.
I do. 9780, biggest surprise for the Astros, the starting rotation with all the injuries. Pitching coaches should get some credit. We talk about the law firm of Murphy and Miller and how it's the secret sauce for this organization all of the time. Mm-hmm. They get the absolute most out of all of their starting pitchers. But that's a good call with the starting rotation because you're down Luis Garcia, TJ. You're down Jose Urquidy till the All-Star break with the shoulder injury. You're down Lance McCullers maybe forever because he wants to be buried in the H, and he's saying that way too literally. Who else am I missing? I feel like I'm missing a fourth one that has been out as well. Maybe not. But those three guys, that was 60% of your rotation. Like, the start, well, Those were three of the six guys in your starting rotation, because Hunter Brown, Christian Javier, Fromber are the healthy ones, and then the unhealthy ones are Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy, and Lance McCullers. Right. I think they would have went six-man rotation had everybody easily been healthy.
Especially during this stretch right here, especially when you know you're looking at 17 straight games and you're looking at you know everybody burning it at both ends and crunch time. I think there would have been times that they would have used it. It might not have been consistent throughout the whole year, but it would have been to the benefit of the pitching staff, especially when you have the injury concerns that you're always going to have with Lance McCullers that you know you've had in the past with an Urquidy, and that's going without even saying that Garcia, which came out of nowhere and was something everybody was deeply concerned about, also set you back. So, yeah, for sure, I think they would have used the six-man, and the fact that you've at least discovered a way to stay above water and you know, to be better than serviceable with the back end of the rotation has been fantastic.
Largo says, can we revisit the Killer Bees preseason projections for Abreu? Do you have those handy? I'd be curious what we had as the preseason projections.
I need to find them.
All right, we'll do it later. Let's do it later in the week. We won't do it today. We got a lot going on today. We'll do it later in the week, Largo, because that's a good call, because I'm sure that we had some pretty high expectations of Jose Abreu at the start of the year. Who didn't? 713-780-ESPN. Who, Largo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just read it.
Oh, I don't see him. I don't see him.
That's the way to do it. That's
you're right. You tipped me off to it. It's a good point.
I unblock everybody, though, at the start of the month. And I haven't blocked Willie yet, which is surprising. Willie and I are
on good
terms.
My dude, man. Richie's good people.
Yeah, we're on good terms. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It is amazing, though, that the starting rotation has been what it's been for the Houston Astros. I believe they're still – I haven't looked this morning. It's still the lowest ERA in all of Major League Baseball. Of course, that's part of the bullpen. But
right. I don't know how the bullpen factored in either, but I would – I think they still are. I didn't look at it either.
Yeah. How about the surprise? I guess if you want to go negative surprise, you could talk about Montero. Although you were kind of all over that. You were a little worried that Montero would regress to his career mean as opposed to his 2023 season.
Yeah, no. You know, and I just said that as much as he exceeded expectations a year ago, and I know that Jim Crane kind of wanted to make a splash to show he knew what he was doing when he fired Click, and this was his first big signing. But I thought he overextended. I thought he gave him way more than he needed to. And when you look at the back of his baseball card, I was concerned about the return on investment because of the fact that he was a starter. He was a reliever. You know, he was going to be DFA'd. There wasn't this massive proof in analytics discussion about this guy's just got so much talent. You know, where do you put him? This was more like, can he find a niche where he can actually be successful and do it for several seasons? And lo and behold, here we are.
Poncho says the first six-game stats for Garcia equals the first six-game stats for Belak. It's a push. You can even look at France and compare it to Urquidy. And Urquidy didn't get off to a great start, but Urquidy's known for having like six-game stretches where he's like really, really good. But you can even kind of use that as a surprise, that Brandon Belak and J.P. France have pitched more productive baseball than what you were getting from Luis Garcia and Jose Urquidy when they got hurt.
I don't think anybody, when you knew that those were the two guys filling in, I don't think either guy, if you said, hey, it's going to be a wash, they're going to match stat for stat, not even be better, they're just going to be as good. People would have scoffed at that and said, there's no way these two guys are going to be as good as Garcia and Urquidy. The fact that they have pitched way above expectation and done everything this team could have asked them to do is a massive win for this team right now.
Willie says, man, McCullers and Garcia being ghosts, darn it. If you could only have one of them back right now, who would it be?
Well, if they're going to stay healthy, question. It's a great question. If they're going to be healthy, I'm probably taking Lance.
If you could guarantee me health, I think it is Lance. I think Lance has had more upside in his career. I mean, he's been an all-star. I think that he can be like a top five, top seven Cy Young guy if he ever to stay healthy. I don't believe he can ever stay healthy, so those aren't the words that I'm trying to tell you. But if you could guarantee health, I think Lance has a higher ceiling than Garcia, and I'm bullish on Garcia. I think Garcia has a very high ceiling, so that's not at all to diminish Luis Garcia. But if you said that you could erase their injury, but then they revert back to their proneness of injury, I would go Luis Garcia. It would flip my answer.
Yeah, no. And because of the track record and the history of the past, it's a safer bet to bet on Garcia as that relates. But I think overall, if you just go with a guy, aside from whether he was tipping pitches or whatever happened with McCullers prior to the injury, overall, you would take a guy that's been a bulldog for you, that in the biggest games has just been nails. That's who I'm going with. But that injury history scares the hell out of me, and it's going to scare the hell out of me the rest of his career now.
Yeah. If I could guarantee both are healthy, give me Lance. But if you could just like reset the injury and wash them free of injury for one moment, but then they revert back to being like, okay, well, he's still injury prone. I would have to go Luis. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So we just talked about Yiner Diaz, how he's been a kind of a surprise too. Maybe not the biggest surprise, but a surprise. We mentioned he has the fourth best OPS on this team, minimum 49 plate appearances to sneak Jose Altuve in there. A four-hit game yesterday, a couple of extra base hits, homered again. How to get Yiner Diaz more playing time, even if it doesn't come at the expense of Martin Maldonado? I have a plan. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what the NeoGraft procedure is, it's worth looking at if you are suffering pattern baldness or bald spots on your head. Because of the fact that the NeoGraft procedure is your own hair put and repurposed to where you need it most, it's a fantastic process. It's not like the sprays and creams and foams that just mask the problem. It's not that you have to try and consider shaving your head because you think there's no other answers. This is actually your own hair, and actually it's transplanted to where you need it most. And the best part about it is 95%+ of all of those follicles that are moved stay and grow and are with you for the long haul. That's why I chose to do it. You can choose based on your own set of circumstances and what you are, the criteria you're looking for, by meeting with Doc Linville and his staff. It normally costs $150 to sit down and try and get all the answers. For you as an ESPN listener, if you go to 975hair.com, we'll get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. And that's the greatest thing about it. You're not on the hook for anything. There's no obligation. And yet you can ask all the questions, get all the answers, and see if the procedure's right for you. It could be anything that you're asking about, from the length of the procedure to the recovery time to when you see the full results to what I told you about, the result percentage, which is 95%+. And Doc likes to say it's between 95% and 99% of the follicles moved are going to stay with you for the long haul. It's absolutely fantastic. I couldn't be happier with the process. You could be next in line. Check them out today and tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
Hey, Houston. You're live in the Hive with the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, as I parrot what Spencer Tillman just said. We're going to be out at Gentle Ben's Tasting Room in Alvin on Friday. Summer Circuit, ESPN 97.5 continues. Summer of the Killer Bees continuing Friday. Come join us, Gentle Ben's Tasting Room. Have a drink. Hang out with us noon until 7. The fine folks at Gentle Ben as well, Ricky Ford. They're going to be giving away door prizes. I know that you can sign up to win some Astros tickets as well on their website, GentleBen.com. So make sure you do all of that. Make sure you. Last time we were there was fantastic. I noticed that Joe George, this is the best thing he did all day. He scheduled himself to be there on Friday, which tipped my cap to you, Joe George. That was a pro move there, pulling rank.
Pro move.
Pulling, yep. Yeah, that was a good move on your part. But yeah, come hang out with us. No one wants to work on Friday in the summer anyway, so come hang out with us at Gentleman Bar in Alvin, Texas. All right, Yiner Diaz has been fantastic for the Astros. Fourth best OPS on this team. Yiner Diaz, by the way, that OPS he has, 786, he would be sixth amongst catchers in baseball if he had enough plate appearances to qualify. So it is, in a day we do cash him or trash him, Yiner Diaz at some point in his career is going to be like a top three offensive catcher in Major League Baseball.
I can see it.
We know because we've lived a lot of light hitting catchers in this city. Martin Maldonado currently, Chirinos, Brad Ausmus. Let us know your light hitting Houston Astro catcher, 713-780-3776. Yiner Diaz has a chance to be one of the better ones for the Houston Astros. We know that Dusty doesn't love Yiner Diaz behind the plate. I think that that's very evident with as much as he's willing to play Martin Maldonado. I think it's evident by how many starts Salazar got behind the dish when he was supposed to be the third catcher of this team. I think it's obvious when Dusty Baker talks about just how Sally saw the pitchers through the game. Maldi's elite at seeing pitchers through the game. So, okay, like I'll listen to that, Dusty. And Dusty, we trust. You've won, you know, tons of Major League Baseball games. Top 10 ever. You just won a World Series. I'll take your word for that because I can't argue with you. You're a genius. You always have been. My plan to give Yiner Diaz more at-bats, and y'all can just shoot this down, 713-780-3776. This was kind of my plan for the Astros getting Wilson Contreras last year, where he's kind of your backup catcher, but you move him around the field. I want to see Yiner Diaz, and like, let's assume this is a normal week. You don't have a day off. You currently don't this week. You start Yiner Diaz 2 games behind the dish. You're playing 7 games in a week, most weeks. That's still 5 games for Martin Maldonado. Martin starting 5, Yiner starting 2 for a week. Martin Maldonado is still your primary catcher. That's not even 40% of the starts behind the plate. So you start Yiner 2 games a week behind the dish. Jose Abreu's been bad at baseball. I'm not saying to bench Jose Abreu and to make him your backup first baseman, but same plan with Martin Maldonado. Yiner Diaz gets 2 starts a week at first base. That means Jose Abreu still gets 5. He's older. You want to take care of him. Hopefully it kind of fixes him. And then 1 time a week, I know that Jolks is swinging a good bat, 1 time a week, you start him as your designated hitter. And I know that can be difficult because you only have 2 catchers on this team, but how often does Martin Maldonado leave a game? If Martin Maldonado has to leave a game, you can just burn the DH and move Yiner behind the dish. And again, this is only 1 time a week. 2 times he gets a started catcher, 2 times a week he starts at first base, 1 time a week he's my designated hitter. Yiner Diaz is now a permanent fixture in this lineup because he's starting 5 games in a single week.
That's fine. I mean, look, I like getting him as many at-bats as possible, and I think that that's a reasonable plan for him. And I would go so far as to say that I believe that you could actually get him with the pitchers that he'd be catching. We talked about this yesterday. I think that there's a chance for him to get 3 starts eventually as you start getting, again, with Belak, with Hunter Brown, if Blanco's going to be in the rotation for a while, and France, you have 4 opportunities to get him 3 starts, you know, for those 3 starters. Now, that might be too much right off the top, but if he keeps hitting the baseball and he starts improving on whatever Dusty wants him to improve on defensively, then I think that there's an easy path to taking your schedule but making him more of a role, an important role as the catcher by the time you get to the midseason point, and then as you start heading towards the playoffs.
A gradual takeover position.
Yep.
I love that. I don't think Dusty was willing to do that.
I think that's where I have concerns, too. I think it would work. I think as long as he does his part, I think you could easily see that progression end up with him being the guy when you start getting close to the playoffs. But I agree with you. Between, you know, Dusty's gut feelings and the fact that he's loyal and how much he loves Maldy, it may never get there. I think this is kind of like when you said what you had your plan when they were looking at Contreras. This was my plan when they made the trade for Vasquez. I thought, hey, they're getting this guy who is a way better offensive player but about the same kind of catcher, and I could see by the time they really get into the playoffs, Vasquez is your starting catcher, and he was an insurance policy.
Yeah, yeah. I would love if Yiner Diaz got groomed to be the permanent catcher for this team by September. I don't think that's going to happen with Dusty Baker managing this team. And look, I'll even concede the fact to Dusty Baker that you don't need him to be, because Martin Maldonado is great at calling a game. So, like, if I concede that point, cool. I'm willing to meet you halfway here. I don't need you, Dusty, to name Yiner Diaz the primary catcher. He's the backup. He's starting 2 games a week behind the dish. Jose Abreu has struggled, and I understand you want to get him going, and I know that he wants to play every day. But a lot of times, old guys need days off. I'm not so sure that giving Jose Abreu 2 games off a week won't help Jose Abreu. So Jose Abreu, you're still my primary first baseman, but you're not playing twice a week because Yiner Diaz is, and Yiner Diaz, quite frankly, is hitting better than you. And Yiner Diaz, because I think he's one of your better offensive players, I think he would be if you gave him a lot of plate appearances, you're starting 1 time a week as the designated hitter. Yiner Diaz is starting 5 games a week. You need to get his bat in the lineup. And I think it's even more important with the Astros' struggles offensively. I know that they're showing signs of life. I know Altuve, until recently, is back. I know Bregman's coming alive. I know that we think Jose Abreu's starting to come around a little bit. You're getting surprises from Jake and Corey Jolks. Chaz McCormick's having a good year as well. But Yiner Diaz is probably one of your top 5-6 offensive players on this team and needs to be in the lineup 5 times out of 7 games.
Look, you understand in the last week or the last 5 games exactly why Dana Brown made the statement that he made to start the year and how many at-bats he wanted to see Yiner Diaz get. And they were way behind in trying to make that quota. There's got to be a way to get this. And especially if he keeps hitting the way he's hit over the last 5 games, you have to find a spot to put him in the lineup. As much as the fans were clamoring for, hey, when Altuve's back, you have to find a spot for Dubon. Well, you have to find a spot for Yiner because he has pop, because you see the extra base hits coming as quickly as you see just any kind of hit coming from him. Double, home run, double, you know, goes the other way last night, goes right down the line and paints one down the first baseline. Didn't, you know, the outfielder made a nice play. It was a single, not a double. But again, it shows you the versatility and the way that he can hit the baseball. You, as long as he's hitting like this, this is a guy you do have to find a spot for in the lineup.
Diaz started 0 for 8 on the year. So early in the year, like, he wasn't playing his way into the start, like, into the lineup. Like, I get it whenever he's struggling, right? Like, if he's struggling, cool. He's just your backup catcher. You're not trying to force his way into the lineup. But whenever you have a player that's going well, and I really do believe that Yiner Diaz is one of the top five offensive players on this team. After, well, six or seven. After Yiner Diaz started the year 0 for 10, you know what he's done in his last 70 plate appearances? He's hitting .318. Yiner Diaz is hitting .318 over his last 70 plate appearances after starting 0 for 10 on the year. That comes with three home runs. That comes with an OPS of .860. That is one of your top five offensive players. So Yiner Diaz has to play more. Yiner Diaz, and again, look, Dusty, you're telling me that Martin Maldonado is your primary catcher. Cool. You're telling me Jose Abreu is your primary first baseman. Cool. You're telling me that somebody else is your primary DH. Probably Yordan, but Yordan plays left field every now and then. That's the time you would get Yiner in as the DH. Fine. Yiner doesn't have to be the starting catcher. Yiner doesn't have to be the primary first baseman. Yiner doesn't need to get the most at bats as the designated hitter. Two games behind the dish, two games at first, one game is your DH, and you have a top five offensive player on this team playing five out of every 7 days. It is a no-brainer.
No, look, I think the biggest stumbling block is going to be Dusty Baker.
Yep.
And that's the biggest problem. And that's where you wonder the lines of communication is how long are they going to be open and how long is he going to be open to Dana Brown and others getting into his ear and saying, hey, look, this is the dude right now that we have to find a spot for. And I understand that you're loyal to guys across the diamond, Abreu and Maldi and whoever, wherever. But this is the best thing for this team, especially with Abreu underachieving. This is a guy that you pretty much didn't pencil in to have any kind of a real role on this team in spring training. Suddenly, Dana Brown sees something to say that he should get this many at-bats. Now, the way he's hitting the ball when he's getting any at-bats, you need to find a spot for him. And I think that this is where we're going to see if there's a difference between the Baker-Click relationship of a year ago and now with Dana Brown in the conversation and in the mix. Is there a way they can find a happy medium to make this happen?
Yeah, get his bat in the lineup. Any arguments that he's not one of your top five or six best offensive players?
Small sample size? Like, is it real? Maybe.
But is he better than Peña?
From an offensive perspective, yes. I think as a hitter specifically, I think he's a better offensive player than Peña.
I kind of lean
I really do.
I still worry about Peña with breaking pitches and sometimes pitch selection that he swings at, to where I think that when you add in the extra pop, consistent pop that Diaz brings you, I understand what Peña did a year ago. Mm-hmm. But this season, I would lean Diaz being a better option than Peña.
I think it's somewhat close.
It is.
And maybe there's a little recency bias here, but Yiner, I mean, he has a top five OPS on this team.
So
he's behind Yordan, Altuve, Tucker. I would have it Yiner.
I think the way Bregman's hitting right now, yeah, Bregman's
the way
him.
That Bregman's hitting right now, yes. It'd be silly to say Yiner better than Bregman.
Right.
But after that, you're not saying Abreu. Are you saying Chaz is better hitter than Yiner?
No.
I wouldn't quite go that far. Jake's not.
Jolks isn't.
I love Jolks. Jolks, I don't think, is as good a hitter as Yiner. Mm-hmm. I think Yiner's your fifth best offensive player.
I mean, you could put Dubon in the mix because he's played enough games.
Yeah, but he just doesn't have the power.
He doesn't have any pop.
Like, he's going to get a high.
He's
going
to hit 300.
Yeah, he's going to be close to a 300 hitter, but Yiner Diaz over his last 70 plate appearances over 300 with homers, with extra base hits.
The power is the big key.
Yeah. To me, I think Yiner's a top five hitter on this team. 713-780-ESPN. So treat him as such. And he doesn't even need to be the primary guy at any position. 713-780-3776. Ridicule this idea. Crush this idea. Do what you
want.
Support
this idea.
With this idea. Yeah. Somebody send a... How do you think you can get it to Dusty? Pigeon carrier? Old-fashioned?
Joe says he knows people. Joe's got pictures on the field.
Dusty doesn't like... He doesn't like recommendations, though.
No, he really doesn't.
Dusty's not a big recommendation guy.
Yeah, he hates to hear it from the media, and he certainly doesn't like it from anybody internal.
No, I spent 5 minutes talking to Dusty Baker this offseason. I gave him zero ideas because I know he wouldn't like that a whole lot. All right, 713-780-3776. We'll get your thoughts on that. Also, right now, who are the Texans' top three players? Any position, except for long snapper, because John Weeks would just win this conversation. Who are the Texans' top three players as of right now? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Top three Houston Texans, top one human resource and payroll company. That's HRP. That's a no-brainer. It's Cougar, owned by Mike Holley, used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he and his team, Chris Fisher, all the great people over there at HRP, they want to help you and your business. HRP members of the Cougar 100 for the eighth year in a row. You've seen their HRP signage at U of H games. You've seen their building off the Beltway. But getting down to the nitty-gritty, business owners, let HRP help you. HR compliance, they can help you there. Benefits administration, they got you covered. Payroll, got you there as well. Onboarding, they can help with that as well. HRP can help in any of those areas or all of those areas. They can help with one of those areas, because there's no boxes with HRP. Doesn't matter how small the job, doesn't matter how big the job, HRP will completely customize a plan for what you and your business need. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate, HRP will find a way to help. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You'll love that, but you'll love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you. They know your business needs. I'm an email guy. When I have an HR question, I send an email to HRP. They give me a quick answer that's very easy to understand. I love HRP. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.